You know, we were inundated last week, and I feel like that I really need to touch on that. We touched on this at Tuesday night, and I think I want to expound on it because the Lord really downloaded some stuff about that. And I'm going to talk about Michael Jackson. Now, before I get started, I'm not preaching anything about, you know, Michael was a great person. I'm not saying any of that. The whole purpose of this is I want to use him as a prime example of how we label things. Okay? So what I want to do is pull off the labels that we have labeled things as. It will do this, but it won't do that. It can't do this, but it can do that. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. So don't close your ears to me thinking that I'm preaching to you about Michael Jackson. I am using Michael Jackson, and if that upsets you, well, then you'll just get over it real quick, okay? First of all, let me say this about him. I had believed in my heart and prophesied over and over and over to him by faith that he would preach the gospel, because I'd never seen anyone reach so many people as he reached. Upon his death, I saw people all the way from the Arab countries to Venezuela, to the Far East, to Israel. They were all giving homage to Michael Jackson. And I thought about, you know, how I hated it, because all he had to do, in my opinion, was get up and say, "Hi, everybody, before I get started, I just want to say that Jesus is the Lord." And he could play his deal. And at the end say, "And before you go, remember, Jesus is good. And give your heart to the Lord, because he's a good God." I thought, just if that's all he had to do, think of the impact that he would have made. Well, my friend Dale Hunter, he called me and says, "Man, are you watching the memorial?" I said to him, "No, I'm not watching the memorial because, you know, I'm kind of full. I don't want to see any more Michael Jackson stuff." And he went, "No, your prophecy's coming to pass." I went, "What do you mean?" He said, "Turn it on." So I turned on the television. It was on every station. And lo and behold, there was Lionel Richie singing "Jesus is Love." And then it was a total God. Even one of the announcers on CNN, say CNN, said, as many times as I've been to the LA Stadium to see the Lakers play, he said, "I've never seen it turn into a house of worship." Now that's what he said. I heard that with my own ears. Someone didn't tell me that. I saw that. I heard that. So he said, "It's happening today. It happened today." Now, I took the time to, I had Carl look this up for me, and he sent me some words that Mr. Jackson had written that we probably don't know the words to. I didn't know, and I had no idea, no idea. Here's what he wrote. It says, the name of the song was "Carry Me." "Hold me like the River Jordan." And what's a heathen doing singing about the River Jordan? Well, he was a Jehovah Witness. Now, let me tell you about Jehovah Witness. Are they saved? Yes, they're saved. They're just terribly legalistic. But that doesn't mean they're not saved. They're not born again. Now, there are those that aren't born again that's in the Jehovah Witness move. There's those in the charismatic move that aren't born again. Are you with me? Have I offended you yet? Give me a minute, because I'm sure I will. Now. "Well, you're preaching about a guy that was a pedophile." Well, you know, and this is America. Deep down in my soul. And you're innocent until proven guilty. That's just the facts. Whatever went on, I don't even want to know about. All I know is what he wrote. He was calling it. Are you with me? "Love me like another, will you be there? Weary, tell me, will you hold me? When wrong, will you stroke me? Will you scold me? When lost, will you find me? But they told me a man should be faithful and walk when not able and fight till the end, but I'm only human." Now listen at this line. Everyone's taking control of me. Seems like the world's got a role for me. I'm so confused. Will you show me? Will you be there for me and care enough to bear me? Lead me. Lay your head slowly, lowly, softly and boldly. Carry me. And then he says, hold me. And then this next one he says, I will feel blessed. Carry me. I will be blessed. And then he says, save me. Heal me. Bathe me. Softly say to me, I'll be there for you and I'll be blessed. And then he spoke these words. In our darkest hour, in my deepest despair. Does this sound like someone calling on the Lord to you? Or am I just mistaken? Okay. In my darkest hour, in my deepest despair, will you still care? Will you still be there in my trials and in my tribulations? Through our doubts and frustrations, in my violence, in my turbulence, through my fear and my confessions, in my anguish and in my pain, through my sorrow and through my joy, will you promise me another tomorrow? Will you change my heart? For you're always in my heart. Now, I said that because I wanted to lay this because of where I'm going. Now, take your Bibles now. I want you to go to Acts 9. Now I'm going to preach to you. I was telling Miss Palmer as we were talking on Tuesday, I said, well, that's a pretty good download I just got. Don't tell Miss Palmer, but I never heard any of this stuff before that night, Tuesday night. So, and then the Lord downloaded this more about this, and it really showed me how we put labels on people put labels on us, and it hampers our walk. Are you with me? Now it says here, I'm in Acts 9. Let's go with chapter 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly suddenly things changed. Suddenly. I like that. They were in the upper room for 10 days, but suddenly something happened. Never mind all the BO from being crowded in a little upper room with no air conditioning for 10 days. You understand that? That all of a sudden, all that misery of being in the upper room for 10 days went away suddenly because the Holy Ghost showed up. It was a sound as a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind because there's a sound. You see, there's a sound coming. There's a sound that's here, if you will hear. Some of you are listening, but you can't hear. There is a sound. The people of God have their own sound. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus beforehand for good works that you should walk in them. That created, you're His workmanship, is poem. You're His poem. You're His song. Only God can sing you. Are you listening to me? I have to preach this way. That fan is aggravating me. Okay. Are you listening? Now, having read that, let's go to verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And he said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. Great. He's got a street. Got a name. Praise God. I just heard it. God just gave me a name. Praise God. So he's all excited now because he's been praying for names. Oh, give me names. Give me dates. Give me rhymes. Give me states. All of a sudden, God speaks to him. And he gives him a name of a city. Do you like that? A name of a street. Then it says here, and inquire at the house of Judas. At the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is there praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him. Coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias cried out, Lord, have you heard? Have you heard? I like this. Lord, aren't you aware of something? The brother don't like Christians, okay? He held Philip's clothes while we stoned him. Okay, Lord, are you sure? I like this. How many times you said that to the Lord? Well, we know someone over here did. Lord, are you sure that can't be the Lord? Because I don't want to do this. You see, if it was easy, God didn't call you to do it. If you could do it in your own strength, God would have never called you to do something in your own strength because you're going to take glory for it. So here's Ananias getting all pumped up because he's heard a street. When God tells you a street to go to, he's been very specific. But don't get excited because you heard the name of a street. Wait till you hear what he wants you to do when you get to the street that he just so named to you. Are you listening to me? And sometimes it's not very pleasant what God tells you to do. Sometimes God will have you get up in the midst of your brothers like he did Cheryl and I and tell them what the word of the Lord is. And they didn't receive it. Come on, somebody. Say, are you listening to me? So when you heard of a street called Straight, don't be confused and label something one way when you don't know the true way that it is. Because he labeled Paul, who's not Paul yet, but about to become Paul, because God's about to change his name. When God changes your name, he changes your nature, he changes your nomenclature. You're no longer 666, you're 777. Do the math. That's 111. From my way of speaking, God's got the enemy beat, 111. So if you understand how this works, when we are in warfare, we're going to lose some. We're going to win some, but we dress for every game. I also want to say while I'm on this, just because you doubt doesn't mean you're not a woman or a man of God. You can doubt but not be in unbelief. It's normal to doubt. God, I've tried this before. It's normal to doubt, but doubt is not unbelief. I heard a preacher say that one time, you need to doubt your doubts. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? So he said in the vision, he's a man named Ananias and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias said, Lord, have you heard from this about this man? How much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem? Poor God, he had no idea. Poor Lord. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. It didn't move the Lord. God, they're going to kill you. Yeah, I like this. Now look at this. Try to figure this one out. God tells Sammy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down there and I want you to find my king, who have I called by my name, and I want you to anoint him. And Sammy says to the Lord, says, Lord, I go down there, Saul's going to kill me, sure enough. And he says, well then, tell him you went down there to offer up a heifer. You see, God is not, I'm always accused of bending the fence back so far that the fence fell down. Are you with me? So I ask you this. Did God tell Samuel to lie? Did he tell him to lie? He said, go down and get anoint me a king. Oh, I just love messing with your religion. Go down there and get me, anoint me a king. He says, I can't go down there, Lord, because if I go down there, Saul will kill me. Well, then tell him you're going to go down there and offer a heifer. Are you listening to me? I got one for you, too, and we'll come back to that one. It was only lawful for the priest to eat the showbread. But the priest told David to eat the showbread. Now, wait a minute. What's lawful and what's not lawful? Do you understand with God, we're dealing with a whole new spectrum, a whole new arena. So what the Lord is saying, he's going all over the New Testament, here's what he's saying. He's giving you a preview of this. You're going to love this now. Somebody ought to shout on this. The Lord says to be crafty as the devil, but gentle as the Holy Ghost. That's in your Bible. Be crafty as the devil, but be as gentle as the Holy Ghost. So what he was telling Saul, now go down there and offer the heifer, but that's not the real reason you're going. You see, God's kingdom is more important than your religion. Amen. And the label that you put on God needs to come off. You need to take the label that you put on. God can't do that because God's this, God's that. We don't have any idea of all the dimensions of God. No idea at all. No idea. I've heard people saying, well, God will never heal me, and heal them. Cheryl told me, here's something I just found out about Cheryl. She had asthma so bad as a little baby that her mom would hold her all night thinking she was going to die. She couldn't catch a breath, couldn't lay down. And out of nowhere, God healed her. No medicine did, and no one prayed for her in America, in her house, but over in China. But over in Delaware somewhere. You see, it's not in your hands. It's in your mind. That's the problem. And if I can do anything to change their mindsets, Russell, if I can do anything to change your mindset, then I've won the victory over the enemy for you today. Because a man with a new mindset is unstoppable. You see, so I'm telling you now, take the labels off. Take the labels that you put on God. You see, because Ananias didn't know that Saul had a Damascus experience. He got knocked off his heart and chains. Knocked off his heart. I like that. He got knocked off his heart and God gave him a new heart. Oh, I love that. Thank you for that, Jesus. I'm going to buy this tape. Are you listening to me? Come on. Oh, will you work with me? Will somebody smile? Poppy, would you smile? Somebody smile. Jesus, help us. Are you with me? Now look at this. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And this next, the 16th verse blows me away, little John. It says here, for I'm going to show him how many things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Now, I don't know about you. But even though I was in Newport Beach City Jail, about to hang myself and God showed up, if he would have showed me all I was going to have to go through from dealing with Christians, I might have said, let's talk about this a minute. I might have backed up and said, let's think about this. I might have said, wait a minute, just like he did in the garden, isn't there a different way? When all of a sudden Jesus saw that God was going to have to turn his face from him, when all of the sins of pedophilia, all the sins of debauchery, all the sins of lust and greed and pride and murder and rape and pillaging, all of it was put on the Lord. He said, Lord, if this thing is possible, take it from me. I've been thinking about it. I don't know if I want to do this. And he labored so hard. Somebody help. Would someone stand up? Hey! Of course you don't have to. Of course you don't have to. You can stay there. You don't have to. You see, if you just considered that you don't have to go through that because he did. Now, if he went through that and we want to label it, he won't do this, but he'll do that, you're wrong. Your Jesus is wrong. Just like trying to deal with my wife's sister. My God. I'm not even going to tell you the name of the religion she's a part of. But her pastor, our preacher, our... They don't believe in pastors anymore. They've all passed away. They don't believe in the prophetic because that's flesh. And anyone that lays hands on the sick, they're a false apostle. My God, and she's mean. All the joy's gone. Who wouldn't be mean? So I'm emailing the guy that, his name is Boat Wrong. I'm emailing the guy and saying, but what about this scripture and what about that scripture? And he writes me back telling me they're the only ones saved. They're the original church. My God. I said, my God, if you're telling me Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostals, Christian, you're telling me they're all unsaved? He said, yes, because they didn't get baptized with the right heart. How do you know that? And then he says this to me. On the email, he said this. And I couldn't believe it. I said, what about the soldier that lays dying
in the battlefield that calls on the name of the Lord? What about the mom that lays on the side of the highway after a drunk driver ran and killed her family, and she's laying there dying too, calling on the name of the Lord for her family? What about them? If it's ludicrous for you to tell me that God won't do this, God won't step in. And you know what he says to me? You know how he rationalized this? Listen to this. Listen to this stupidity. Listen. People believe this stuff. He said, if two people were going to get married and never got married and had a car crash and were dying, could they get married? In other words, he'd have to be baptized calling on the name of the Lord in the battlefield because he had his chance. Too late. Get one break coming up. Are you with me? Do you understand the label that that religion has put on God, that God can't save someone that calls upon his name on their deathbed? Well, someone says there's many ways to be saved. Yes, there's many ways to be saved, but there's only one Lord Jesus. I like the way the Lord got it. There's many ways to be saved, but all doors lead to Jesus. There's many doors that get to Jesus. Travesty, catastrophe, an altar call, whatever it takes to get you there. But there's only one way. The road is narrow. That word narrow means agonoso. We get our word agonize. You gotta agonize to get in this door. To do right all the time, Jesus rules, to do right all the time is not the easy thing. You know what being righteous is? Doing the right thing over and over and over and over. When everybody else is doing the wrong thing, you're doing the right thing over and over. When everyone says, this is it, it's okay, do it, smoke it, smoke it, do it, this. It's okay, drink this, smoke that, take that, do this, watch that, go with them, go with that. Everybody's doing it. Well, my Bible says, stand, having done all, that you may be able to withstand.
That's right.
And that word stand is continue in your covenant, because I'm going to continue in mine, is what the Lord's saying. All right. Are you with me on this? I got 10 more minutes. Am I doing okay? You don't seem to be too happy about this. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open. And I saw... Sandra, that's enough to make us jump up and down, isn't it? Pete says, I saw heaven open. The windows of heaven open. And an object like a great sheet bound on all four corners descended to him and let it down. And they were all kind of four-footed beasts, footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, Lord, no, for I have read that we're not supposed to eat such things. Now, let me put this to you. Elijah had read the same scriptures. So when the raven came to feed, which is an unclean bird, came to feed the prophet had the same problem. Lord, I can't eat meat from a raven. He's unclean. Lord said, then you're going to die right here by the brook. Take off the label. What I call clean is clean. If I tell you to go down there to anoint someone king and you got to kill a bear to get there, kill the sucker.
Amen.
Well, I don't have any bear ammunition. David did. Perry had to shoot that one 15 times. David just had a knife. Grabbed the lion. See that lion when you came in? David grabbed the lion like that by the beard. That wasn't a spiritual lion. Smile, Poppy. And a voice spoke to him, and again the second time said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. There's that three again. Why was it done three times? To clean up the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Why was it done three times? To speak about Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles. Why was it done three times? To talk about the brass, the silver, and the gold. Why was it done three times? To show he's the way, the truth, the life, faith, hope, love, 30, 60, 100. First anointing, second anointing, third anointing. That's why you did it three times. Are you with me? Are you with me over there? Let's go. I'm going to go one more place, and then I'll stop. We're getting close. Let's go to Matthew 13. Let's take verse 55. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from them. And when he had come in his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's kid? Isn't that Joe's son? Isn't that Mary's boy? Isn't that Mary's boy in there? Where did he get this stuff?" It couldn't be Messiah because it's Mary's boy. It couldn't be the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory because he's a carpenter. You see, he's a carpenter because we're carpenters, we're footstool makers. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. You understand? We're making a place for the Lord to stand. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, "How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news." But when he went to Rahab's house and went down that scarlet thread, praise God, and took Jericho and bounced on into the New Testament, it changed from his feet to our feet. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. Somebody say, "I'm a them." I'm a whosoever. Well, I've got a little activity going out of this bunch over here. I'm going to come over here now. You're a whosoever. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this stuff? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brother Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended. So, and that's, I wanted to get to here. So they were offended. They were offended. Now, that's what happened to Boatwrong. He got offended at me telling him the truth. They read the scripture, but we study the scripture. To study a scripture is to get your concordance out, not just read it. Because love has five meanings in the Greek. That's why God wrote it in the Greek. For those who want to know the word can study the word and find out the true meaning. Baptizio, baptism, is immersion. And a full spiritual immersion into. A full spiritual immersion into. Does that rule out water baptism? But what does it matter if I dunk you in the name of Jesus and it's not in your heart? It's a spiritual thing. You see, there is a spiritual law that supersedes the natural. And that's what I want to get to. I want to get to there's a spiritual significance that means more than the natural significance. Yes, he may be doing dope today, but watch tomorrow. Yes, she may be lost and on the streets and today, but watch tomorrow. You err, not knowing the scriptures, for you doubted the Holy One of Israel. Well, you're only going by what you see. You're not going by what I know. You see, I'm in tomorrow. I've already been there, and I know where they're going to be. And you need to treat them just like they've already arrived. You see, that's it, Bill. We don't call them heathen and lost. We call them free. And I've been here. Remember, we've been preaching this, as you go, preach the kingdom of the gospel. Well, actually, that's what it is. As you go, preach the kingdom. That's what he said. Not once you get there. As you go. So here we are. We're in church. Friday night, we smell smoke. I smell smoke. I'm calling the fire department. Been through a fire. Fire guys come here and their stuff.
Is there a fire here?
You look at this thing.
Where's the fire?
I don't know, sir. We just smelled smoke. Says,
guys, can I get in the building?
Yes, you can get in the building.
Okay, I'll go.
He walked in. He says,
oh, I know what's in here.
They were the same guys that came for the fire.
Oh, that looks a lot different.
And on the way out, they stood there, and I says, do you mind if we pray for you? And the one Spanish guy went,
what? What a prayer.
And then there was another guy says, yes, please. And we begin to pray for them, and we begin, I started prophesying. Now, let me show you how to do this. Let me take a curve here. Here's how you pray. Here's how you prophesy over someone without them knowing it. You pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that this one, Lord God, is going to be faithful all of his life. Lord, I thank you that he's not going to go through strife and he's not going to go through divorce. He's going to be raised up. He's going to teach the little children, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I just pray. You got to see. You got to fill in that little pray. What that does, it's like, yes, go ahead and tell him you're going to kill a heifer. It's the same thing. Take that word praise, killing a heifer. You understand it? So you can prophesy over anybody at Walmart. And it doesn't, you don't have to go, oh, hallelujah. Oh, the Lord would say, ah, ha, ha, ha. Oh, glory, glory. Somebody be my catcher. Oh, shaka, ka, 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 ka. You don't have to do that. Okay? It's not an audition. Are you with me? It's not an audition. You've got the job already. Just pray. Let me pray for you. And begin to pray. And I pray, Lord, that his husband will be healed. I pray, God, that his... And you can even put a disclaimer. And if there's any illness in his family, Lord, and if his husband... See, you can do that. Yes, yes. And they'll invariably say, oh, how did you know that? Well, the Lord knows, brother. Take the label off. Thank you. Hallelujah. Take that label off. That's a learned behavior. It's okay to have a Holy Ghost fit. It's okay to say thank you. It's okay to do all that if you want to. But don't think that that's it. If you don't do it, you're not anointed. That's wrong. It's okay to be Sandra. Sandra, stand up. Come here. Now, this woman's filled with the Holy Ghost. Every time I get around her, I feel the Holy Ghost. She doesn't have to put on an act. She doesn't have to put on a suit. She carries the anointing, has all the 100 years I've known her. Now, let's speak to Poppy. Poppy, come here. Now, here's Poppy. I always know when we're hitting the pocket in worship because he starts reading his Bible. Is it? Well, aren't you supposed to stand up and run around and shout? No, not him. Not him, and he's just as spiritual as anyone else in here. I've known him for 100 years. I can't even tell you the things that we've gone through over some of their kids. But we made it. Are you with me? One of them's over there. Come here, John. Yeah, let's just get John up here. Now see, he straightens his hair up. Now see, when you look at John and talk to John, you'll go, no, John's a little different. John's a little different. Stand up, Carrie. Now Carrie's a little different. A little different. You want to see someone really different? Stand up, Shemina. Are you getting the drift? Oh, and look, let's not forget Suzanne over there. Oh, my God. You know, come, are you with me? Zoe, stand up. Now, Zoe's our poster child. She used to come here. She was mad at everybody. Now she smiles, hugs me, and kisses me right on the cheek. Okay. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. You like it? Thank you very much. Now, okay, stand up. For the Lord would say to you, you think that your ministry is over? You think that you've came to a place where the quit calling. I'm seeing like, I just saw like a circle drawn with marbles in it and shooting the marbles. And you always reach for the black marble because you always expect the worst. But the Lord says that day is over. It's come to pass. For I have removed all the glass marbles and I've replaced them with jewels. I say this day is no longer a day that you're going to be shooting with a black marble, but you will be shooting with a light marble, a marble of light. And the Lord has this to say, for all that the enemy has stolen from you over the past 6 years. 6 is the number of man. But brace yourself because there is a new beginning. No more losing, this time it's winning. No more mourning and no more sorrow. For the Lord would say this to you. I've been in the place I stand in tomorrow today. And this is the place that I have for you. So have another drink. Have another drink of Yahweh. So this I proclaim and this I speak over your life this day. No longer are you hampered with the chains of men, but you are free again. The chains are broken from religion and denomination. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And pastor, if you want to run around this house, you go ahead and run. Praise God. Thank you. You just feels like a Holy Ghost party. It's at a Holy Ghost party. Don't stop. Now, I wanted to get to this part before I quit. It says here, so they were offended. Believe it or not, you know I offend a lot of people. I can't imagine. Yeah, would you mute the mics there, Rick? It's the Holy Ghost. Okay. So, Jesus offended many people because they were thinking that he was going to come as king. They thought he was going to come with his kingdom. He brought a kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom. They thought he was going to come in a chariot, but he came on a donkey. I like that. King James says an ass. And many of us have been that. But the Lord rode us and broke us, and now we're donkeys. Come on. A donkey's a broken ass. I'm just telling you scripture. These are not expletives. That's scripture. Russell really likes it. I believe Russell's coming back. He said, you're the only pistol-packing pastor I've ever known. Now look, let's get to this. Come on. Are you with me? So they were offended at him because Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor anywhere except in his own hometown. They like him everywhere he goes, but where he lives, they don't like him. What's up with that? I don't know, but Jesus said it so. So they like me everywhere but Houston. So if I moved to somewhere else, it would be the same. Houston would like me again. When we used to come travel here, I was nice. They just loved me. But when we moved here, all of a sudden, I'm not nice anymore. I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand the scripture, obviously. Are you listening to me? Someone say, I'm removing labels right now. I'm removing labels right now. I'm removing them. I'm taking labels off of things that I labeled that was a this, was a that, couldn't do this and couldn't do that, couldn't only go that far. I'm removing labels that they're too young, they're too old, they don't know. I'm removing labels. I don't like that. I'm removing my personal preference. You see, I don't like cowboy music. I like the new country because it's kind of rock and roll. But I said that to say, I've seen some praise and worship bands, and they're playing cowboy music, and I'm going, Because of the anointing. Your personal preference always steps back when the anointing steps up. Are you with me? I like R&B myself. I think R&B is just anointed. Just holding a CD is anointed. But that's me. My personal preference doesn't carry the anointing, but I carry the anointing. The anointing abides in you. And when we come together, all of our anointings are fitly joined together. I told you the Benny Hinn story. Have everybody heard the Benny Hinn story? You probably heard it so many times you're sick of it. But it's the most incredible thing that I've ever seen for someone who is just like Kerry. But when he gets on the platform, all of the anointing channels through him. I'll probably use the word channel and it upsets you. All the anointing. How about this one? The corporate man. He becomes the corporate man. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He stands there as the corporate man. Now, I wanted to close with this. And he did not do, this is Jesus. And Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God, the lily of the valley, the Alpha, the Omega, the everlasting Father, the great I am, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Captain of the Host, could do no work there, no miracles there, because they had labeled him. It says because of their unbelief. Because they labeled him, Joseph. Because they labeled him. Now, let's just talk about, I mentioned my little brother. JD's not here, so I'm going to talk about her. Now, JD is my niece. And when JD first came to us, she was sick all the time. She had a wreck every time she turned around. Was always, her dad was calling, was always praying, was always working through this, always working through that. And now, all of a sudden, she's blossomed into a six shooter. She's a powerful woman of God. We're going, where have you been? She was in there the whole time. You're not here. You see, are you listening to me? The whole time. It didn't just jump on her. It just jumped out of her. When you take the label off of yourself. Now, this is where I wanted to go and end up. If you take the label off yourself, Chief Russell, if you remove the label that you have put on yourself because of outside input, because of offense, as a matter of fact, right now, in Jesus' name, I want to come against the spirit of grief. I just break grief off of my brother right now in Jesus' name. I break it. I have no idea, but I know Jesus does. Why don't you stand up, Russ? We're going to pray for you. Father, I just speak and break grief off of my brother right now in Jesus' name. That spirit of death has to leave him now in Jesus' name. That spirit of grief has to go now in Jesus' name. The brothers are standing with you, Russell. We're with you, Russell. In Jesus' name. Disease cannot come near my brother. Calamity cannot come near my brother in Jesus' name. I break the power of the C word. It will not come near my brother. Cancer will not touch him in Jesus' name. Why don't you play something for me, Rick? Any minute now would be good. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. See, tears, big tears coming down the grown man's eyes, coming down his face. We're removing the labels right now. Take the labels off yourself, Leslie. Leslie, take that label off yourself. Remove that label off your mind. You are not what they said. You are not what the ex says you are. You are not. You are not. You are not a loser. You're a winner. Your worst days is over. The best is yet to come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Jessica, stand up. I called you bold in the Lord and in the power of His might. Turn down just a little. I call you bold in the Lord and in the power of His might. You now have the ability to say no. Say no. I don't. That's not good enough. No. No. Say no. 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 Say it. What are you going to say when? What are you going to say when someone tries to encroach upon your personal person?
No.
What?
No!
There's a song in my broken soul, and only you can sing.
Okay. I'm 10 minutes over.
You're so unpredictable.
I want you all to stand for me. I preached my little heart out to you to get you to remove the labels off yourself. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Now here's what I want you to do. Just as an act of an example of, here's what I want you to do. There's an, close your eyes, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to paint your picture. There's an altar in front of you. See the altar. Now, the label that's on your mind that has been put there by others that you have come to believe about yourself, that's anything other than what Jesus says about you, I want you to tear that thing off right now. Take it off. Now lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar and say, Lord Jesus, I am not what the world says I am. I am what you says I am. And I take off the label that men have put on me, and I'm not offended. Lord, I take the label off of the way that I've seen you, and I see you as being non-religious.
The river Jordan, and I will then say to thee, you are my friend. Carry me like you are my brother, love me like a mother. Would you be there? I'll never let you part.